And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Well, we've waited a while to answer, but you know what this is? It's opening night for the Vancouver Canucks. There's hockey tonight.
There is hockey tonight, but boy, does it hit different, right? Like, on the one hand, hockey. On the other hand, some tough news, as first reported by Matt Sakaris. Looks like there's some COVID concerns that might impact the Canucks' lineup. And look, this is complicated. Like, one thing I think about a lot is when I went to the bubble, I went prepared to cover things going sideways. And I'm grateful. Like, I'm so grateful, and I was grateful at the time, and I acknowledged it, and I talked about it with my wife, and talked about it with some of the other reporters. Like, I was so grateful as the experiment in the bubble worked that my focus actually got to be on hockey, right? Like, my focus was on the Canucks in the playoffs. And while it didn't feel normal in terms of the experience, it felt overwhelmingly normal in terms of the topic, the subject matter, the pure hockey focus that was able to, you know, rise to the top even more so as the bubble experiment went on, because there were no positive tests, because the bubble held. For the Vancouver Canucks, with a couple of absences unexplained until Matt Sakaris's report, apparently there are COVID concerns surrounding Jordy Benn and JT Miller, and the club will be without them for, you know, an uncertain length of time, but Sakaris suggests that it'll be a couple of weeks. So some tough news to start out the Canucks' season, and a reminder too of what a grind and just what a unique challenge competing, you know, putting on NHL hockey against the backdrop of the pandemic second wave is going to be over the next several months.
Now, Jordy Benn looked like he was going to start the year as an extra defenseman, but the minute an injury above him hits, then this becomes a bigger story, a veteran presence, and we already know that it looks like Yolevi's going to start the season, and, you know, Chatfield's been around the NHL but has never played in the NHL, and so Jordy Benn was that sort of veteran option of depth. But JT Miller, obviously, is, with all due respect to Jordy Benn, you know, in terms of the hockey club's well-being on the ice and in the standings, this is a guy that led the team in scoring, was everything the Canucks could have asked for him in his first year after the trade from Tampa, and on top of that, was remarkably durable. He played every game available to him in the regular season and in the playoff bubble, and this is a story, and I've mentioned it before, and I think others have as well, that when you look at a big picture, like a big part of the Canucks' story from last season was the availability of their top players on the regular. Like,
yeah.
JT Miller and Bo Horvat played every game available to them. Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson each missed one. Top four scorers missed two games combined for the Vancouver Canucks. And of their top seven scorers, Brock Besser was the only guy to miss more than one game. Like, just stop and think about that. In a contact sport where injuries are happening all over the place, the Vancouver Canucks had remarkably good fortune when it came to the health of their skaters. Jacob Markstrom got hurt late in the season. We know that. Chris Tanev got injured on that final game before COVID. Myers got hurt in the bubble. Edler missed a little time around Christmas. But when it came to their forward group and Quinn Hughes, you know, their key guys were there night in, night out. Now, all of a sudden, they're looking at starting this season without their leading scorer from last year for possibly the first couple of weeks. Yikes. That kind of changes the conversation in a hurry.
Yes, it does. And puts a ton of pressure on players like Jake Virtanen and Zach MacEwen. I mean, they're going to need a lot. This team doesn't have a ton of forward depth. And, you know, they were extraordinarily lucky last season. Not that they're unlucky now, but I mean, they are. Like, but this isn't luck. This is what the season's going to look like. Like, this isn't the last such unexplained absences followed by, you know, a worst case scenario type report that we're going to get here. So, I mean, just tough. Like, just a tough way to start the season sort of puts a damper on a lot of the excitement. But, you know, the games will go on. The Canucks have arrived, clearly, in Edmonton. They've posted photos of the players arriving in masks, but I mean, just yikes. Like, this is just a yikes and a huge loss for the hockey club. And I mean, just a reality check for fans and reporters covering the team too.
Yeah. We saw it at practice. Jake Virtanen slides in. I would assume that's the way it goes. We did our goal projections the other day. We're not going to redo them, but I mean, that does change that dynamic in a big way. What an opportunity for Jake Virtanen. You know, can he run with it? I know he's played with Elias Pettersson in the past. Brock Besser, after practice, sort of joked that those three had played together. And he referenced the game in Pittsburgh last year that ended up 8-6 for the Penguins. And as Brock was mentioning it, I don't know, Elias Pettersson was sort of snickering under his breath. Like, there was an audible kind of, like, I think just as that Brock picked that game as the example of the three of them playing together. And look, he copped to the fact that defensively it wasn't all that good, and it wasn't. But I just thought Elias's reaction, he didn't say much, but he said enough that I got a kick out of that. But yeah, as you said, opportunity for Virtanen, and certainly an opportunity for Zach MacEwen, who to this point looked like he might start the season as the extra guy. He certainly would have worked his way in to the lineup as the season went along, depending on matchups and if the Canucks need a little toughness and size. But now it looks like he'll step in and get an opportunity to be in the opening night lineup as well. So we'll see what these guys can do with the opportunity. The other guy that is probably going to be in the opening night lineup, but we won't know until they hit the ice, is Travis Hamonic, but he is now in the fold officially. I mean, it's been trending in this direction. We all expected this. Stepped on the ice skating with Quinn Hughes the first couple of days, and it looks like he'll start the season there. There was some question about whether he would be available for game one just because he hasn't played in forever. Got to go back to last February, but they get that deal done at $1.25 million.
Yep. And look, Hamonic, I mean, look how much depth is going to matter this season, right? Period. Depth is going to matter. We're seeing it all over the place, and we're going to keep seeing it for months to come. Travis Hamonic at 1.25, not only is he a good fit for playing with Hughes, but now you aren't going to be playing a guy with zero NHL experience in the event that one of your top four guys gets hurt, right? Like, period. Like, it's so important. Hamonic is actually such a key addition just because of what he means for reducing this club's risk profile. This is a good deal. Like, this is a good deal, easy win, and I think he's going to be a really nice fit with Hamonic. I know the organization does too. Will be fascinating to see how he performs. But for me, honestly, the biggest impact of this signing is what it's going to mean for, you know, the inevitable blue line injuries or blue line absences the teams are going to encounter in the weeks and months ahead this season.
Well, it is opening day for the Vancouver Canucks, and we wanted to sort of launch a game day special podcast, and that's why we're doing this. And we're going to have a chat with the two Johns, John Shorthouse and John Garrett, who will be calling games once again as they have for, oh, I don't know, we'll find out the official number, but it's over a decade now. I mean, these two guys, just when you think of Canucks hockey, and it's been a long time because they didn't work in the bubble, they didn't work playoff games, so it's been a long time since John and John have really been heard anywhere, and I know you've wanted to get them on the podcast here for quite some time, so we're going to catch up with them here momentarily, but you know, this Miller news certainly changes things. We've talked about the fact that the Canucks are kind of right there in the mix with Edmonton and Calgary, and I'm sure Winnipeg wants to think it's in that discussion as well. In this Canadian division, 4 of 7 are going to make the playoffs. And, you know, for the Canucks, like, I know that there is really no home ice advantage, Tom, because there's nobody in these buildings. It's not the bubble. They are going to play in different buildings, but the atmosphere will pretty much be the same. It won't exist because there won't be fans there. So it's not like there's a massive home ice advantage to all of this. But I do feel like the Canucks have to find a way to sort of hold serve here right out of the gate, because you don't want to fall behind and be playing catch up. Like, you know, it's going to come down to these head-to-head matchups, obviously 10 against the Oilers, 10 against the Flames. We know the storylines are ridiculously rich when they go into Calgary on the weekend, but you get McDavid and Draisaitl right out of the gate. Like, I don't know, the Miller situation is going to make it that much tougher, but they got to find a way to get something out of these 4 games in Alberta before they get a chance to play home games here in Vancouver.
Yeah, the look, the way that this shapes out, right? Like, if you can really rack up a margin on, you know, 3 of the Canadian teams, right? Like, if you take advantage of your season series against the Senators, take care of business against 2 more teams, like, you're going to be in a pretty good spot, right? Then you just have to split the others, or, you know, you can lose one, whatever. But, like, if you can hold serve against a couple of teams in a major way over the course of your 10 or 9 game set, that's everything. And Edmonton, I think, is the real one that the Canucks should be eyeing here. I just think Edmonton, Winnipeg, Vancouver makes sense to me as that, like, tier of teams. You know, all of them could push for 2 as far as I'm concerned. But I size those teams up and think that's the dogfight for the 4th playoff spot in the North Division. I'll be really fascinated to see it. Look, these are important games. Clearly the Canucks are going to be shorthanded here. You know, they certainly can't afford to go 0 for Alberta as they did last season. You know, shorter campaign, more games to begin the season in Alberta. Need to get, I'd say, at least 3 points. Like, you need to get a win and a tie out of these 4 games at least, you know, to make sure you're not on the back foot for the next 10, right? Like, if you fall behind too early, if you go 1-3, like, you're going to be playing catch up for a while just because of how short this season is and how impactful every game is.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, this is a bit of a black cloud that hovers over them to start the season. It's unfortunate with this Miller news, but they got to play the game. So we'll give them a chance. We'll see what happens. The season gets underway. That much we know. And that's the beauty of, you know, covering this team. And I think the beauty from a fan's perspective as well is, you know, all these storylines to digest now that the games are here. So let's see what happens. Canucks and the Oilers tonight and again on Thursday night. And you're not going to hear John Shorthouse and John Garrett on opening night. They're not working this. It's a national broadcast, and they're the regional broadcasters for the Canucks. So they will get to work on Thursday. But we're going to put them to work here on the VanCast, and looking forward to this. It'll be some fun.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, I hope this is comfort food for Canuck fans, Tom, because it's been a long time since anybody has seen the two Johns do their thing in the broadcast booth. And of course, I'm talking about Shorty and Cheech, John Shorthouse and John Garrett. And they will be back in the broadcast booth, although everything's different in this COVID world. So we'll find out a little bit about how it's going to affect them. But Shorty, how many years for you guys now as a happily married couple?
Hey, don't jump to conclusions. I think I started with John in 2008. Is that right, Cheech?
I think that's around right.
Yeah, I started the job in 1998. So this is my 23rd year. But I think Jim Houston moved out of the regional racket around 2008. So this will be our 13th year together, I believe.
All right. Now, normally hockey season, you guys are inseparable in broadcast booth, but we know the well-documented stories about game day lunches and some of the fine dining along the way. What's it been like in COVID? Like, when was the last time the two of you were in the same room?
We haven't been. We haven't been since last March when all this went down. And it's hard to, you know, you talk about being responsible and during the COVID period, and I know it's the same for Shorty, as Christmas, we couldn't have the grandkids over. New Year's, you can't go out. All the Thanksgiving, all the occasions that have passed, and Halloween, and it's just a crazy time. I know Shorty and Murph golf, but I'm not a big golfer, so we haven't seen each other. It'll be so nice, even at a distance, to be in close contact. Maybe Shorty and I will stop on the way down to the rink and get Subways, and we can get somebody to run the Subways back and forth.
I got to say, first of all, that is the first time I've heard you refer to me as one of your grandchildren, so thank you. And I'm sorry I couldn't make it for Christmas. And the other thing I was thinking, because Jeff, you mentioned the luncheons and our eating habits, and you know, we don't really test the waters of creativity very much. It's Five Guys, it's Shake Shack, it's Johnny Rockets, it's Wendy's. And I've got to say, in this COVID world, probably for the betterment of our health, I think that our burgers per 60 is going to drop.
Oh, man, it's ridiculous. My second number is a 7 in my weight. Come on.
You're wasting away, John.
I know. My wife's got salads, and it's just, you have to have eat the rainbow. What is that?
So John is living on Skittles.
Yeah, that's what I should be doing.
Gentlemen, you know, we've missed the banter, and it's amazing that it's only been 12 years, because it does seem longer. Like, it does seem like you guys have been a pair for longer. Does it feel that way for the two of you?
Well, sometimes. But Shorty and I have, because we've been doing the Canuck games, and Shorty, as he said, goes back 23 years. And he's so easy to get along with, and I was doing Canuck games and other games, so that we had contact, but we weren't working together. So it wasn't as close as when we were actually doing games together, but we were still in the same circles, and we'd go to the same places. And after post game, we'd always end up usually at the same tables. So it's been longer than that.
You know, and I do think it's, if I may get serious for the first time in 10 months, it's so important, because I think one of you used the word marriage there, and you know, we don't take it right to the finish line, but it is a lot like a marriage, and you're around each other so much, and if you're doing things that grate on each other, or if you don't have compatible personalities, it's not going to be a lot of fun. It will seem like it's been forever, and honestly, I was joking earlier, it feels like it's just gone by in the blink of an eye. So hopefully we can rekindle some of this magic. It's going to be different. Jeff mentioned it. It's without traveling. I've never called a game off a monitor. I'm sure John has, and maybe even in color. But I've tried it once. I tried it once at the Who Can Forget Heritage Classic because we were so far away from the ice at BC Place, and they have that wonderful big screen there. I think it at one point, if not even to this day, is it not like the second largest one in North America behind Dallas? Anyway, it's a great screen. And so I called the Canucks and the Senators off the big screen at BC Place because I was just too far away. So, but this is going to be different. Don't you think, Cheech, we're going to miss some stuff behind the play? We're going to, you know, not know if a guy's left the bench right away, if somebody's been benched or injured. So hopefully it goes pretty well, but it's going to be different.
Yeah. Oh, it will. And you were doing radio at the time, weren't you, using the screen? So it didn't matter. You could say whatever you want.
That's right.
People in their car don't know it. And this, we're really at the mercy of the cameraman. And because we're doing road games off the monitors, we don't know the cameraman. So you don't know how good they really are and how the tight follow is going to be on the puck all the time or whether we'll have views. And now they're incorporating in the era of super stats this extra screen that's going to have. And Shorty was talking about if somebody gets benched or if somebody's on the ice too long or the speed they're skating at or the speed of the shot and all these kind of things. It's going to be new for us besides doing, and I have done a game. I did a game way back when, a playoff game. We just turned around and did it off a little monitor, and it was a nightmare. But we'll have better equipment and better facilities for sure. But I hope I'm not being a distracted driver with this big fancy stat screen sitting beside. Shorty, I talked to Shirelli about arranging so I get to watch it and hopefully have a tutorial tomorrow night on the Wednesday game before we start on Thursday.
Well, that'll be good. I do know one thing, and what they're instructing the production crews to a degree. I mean, it is 2021, and you can't take television back to the 50s. But they are, you know, telling the crews, the directors and the producers, to maybe be a little less creative with their camera cutting and with things they might have done, like missing a face-off, for example. And I bring that up because I was watching a game last year, I think. Didn't the Sabres play some games in Scandinavia, maybe in Finland? Or Sweden, maybe. Maybe because
yeah,
of,
to start the season, yeah.
They're Swedish players. Anyway, I was watching, and poor Rick Jenneret was calling the game from Buffalo. And they missed a face-off, and somebody scored like that. And nobody knew what had happened because they were on a crowd shot or a shot of the coach or something. And, you know, that's the sort of stuff you're going to have to avoid because it does happen. Sometimes there is a clean face-off win, a shot, and a goal. And so not missing face-offs, not cutting to a low-angle camera on a 3-on-2, those types of things are going to help us out, and hopefully everybody's on the same page.
Well, at least you won't hear as much bitching from video coaches. And you miss, there won't be any missed draws.
That's right.
Are you guys setting up, like, you have the same location, home and away?
We have the luxury, I guess you would call it, because of the pandemic, and there have not been a lot of positives come out of COVID-19, but we're going to do the opposite of the Jeffersons, and we're going to be moving on down from the gondola to a 200-level suite. And so we can kind of sit behind the counter that faces the ice, that's right behind the two rows of seats in one of those suites, and we can call the home games from there, just watching the ice from a pretty good vantage point. And then for the road games, we're just going to kind of retreat back into the suite, and they have a really long table, almost like a form of a picnic bench, plenty of room for social distancing for the two of us, and we're going to set up at that long table and call the games off monitors, and hopefully it'll be a little warmer in there is my real hope. But that's I hope going to be a plus, because not that Rogers Arena has bad sight lines, it's the gondola here is one of the best in the league because you're really right over top of the action. But it will be nice to get down a little lower, I think, and maybe be able to hear the players chatter and all that.
I think Cheech's ears perked up when you said picnic bench, so he's now going to be packing a lunch.
Well, Jeff, you know what it's like in Los Angeles, Jeff, with where the television one is and the radio one.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that kind of location, and you can hear the shots, and especially with no people in the building, it's going to be, we'll be able to hear the banter, and that will help.
Now, it's funny, because Thomas spent the summer in the bubble in Edmonton, but you guys didn't work those playoff games. We've all been to, you know, 1,000 practices. We've seen these guys skate in empty buildings, but what about the idea of delivering a broadcast? And it'll be, I imagine, it'd be a little weird doing the road games from Rogers Arena. You know, you're in an empty building where nothing's going on, but you're broadcasting a game where something is going on.
I'll take this one first, Jordy, because don't you think that Montreal, Toronto, it's going to hurt them? Because they always used to come out west, and especially now when they'd only come out once a year, and all the Leaf sweaters and the Habs sweaters, and it was almost like a home advantage for them when they swung through Western Canada, and I think their record reflected that, and they're going to lose that. And so I really think home ice advantage for that situation is not going to be near as much. And if the teams can just wrap their heads around, okay, the ice is the same, here we go, we're in Calgary, who cares? There's nobody in the stands. The refs don't get influenced by the crowd noises, and pay attention a little closer when the crowd reacts, or you don't have those late penalty calls. I really think that you could get your road record as good as your home record if you can just maintain it in a 56-game schedule. Just bear down and away you go.
John mentioned the refs. Just as an aside, it's going to be interesting because normally the league tries to, move refs around and not schedule them to the same team too often, that sort of thing. But, you know, with COVID, well, first of all, with the refs on this side of the border only doing games in the 7 Canadian cities, add to that the fact they're trying to cut down on travel. There's going to be lots of situations where teams are playing 2 or 3 games in a row in the same city. You might see the same officials for back-to-back games or 3 games in a row. And you know how coaches can be and how they can get a burr in their saddle or a bee in their bonnet about some calls that were made. It's going to be an interesting litmus test, I think, to see how they deal with maybe seeing that same face again tonight that you were so mad at the night before.
Our listeners won't know this, but you turn up your rink effects, right? Which is, you hear all the sounds and the noise from the rink so loudly. I'm going to be curious because you've already been in the habit of incorporating audible dialogue in your broadcast. Do you think you'll have more of it?
Well, I think probably. I think they learned a lot in the bubble, and I think they've learned a lot just from the other leagues and what they're doing. To avoid the words that you would normally censor from getting on the air. I know that I got great play for one last year, and it was just off the cuff. But you can't do that too much, you know, because now you're just drawing attention to it. And if it's going to be significantly more in volume in terms of like how many times it happens and in volume in terms of how clearly you can hear it, it's probably not my place to be drawing attention to it all the time. But in terms of like just rink sounds, I use all sorts of things to try to get it right, like deflection goals. You know, a lot of the time I'm tipped off, no pun intended, to the fact that it's a deflection goal is I hear the click off the stick. Even if it's in a really loud building, because I run the ice effects pretty loud in my headset. So I'm going to go down and do a test run tomorrow. I don't know how much of the pumped in crowd noise I'm going to be hearing. I'm hoping it'll be somewhat substantial, just to have a nice mix with the ice effects that I'm planning to also run pretty loudly, just so I can use to my advantage all the things that I do, whether it's hearing a ref kind of foreshadow what the penalty is he's going to call, whether it's, again, a deflection goal or a goalie who got a really big piece of that shot with the pad. You could hear the thump, but it still went in. Post and in goals, all that sorts of stuff, I'm hoping to still be able to rely on.
Well, look at the PGA Tour, the mics on this weekend. You just have to watch what you say. And I think the players are being told to, you know, be more cognizant of what they say and to whom and how loudly. And it's, as you were saying, with nobody in the rink, it's not muffled very much.
I've heard this podcast numerous times before, And it always startles me when Jeff drops an F-bomb, because it just seems so out of character. And so it doesn't sound right. I gotta go. I've told myself I'm not going to do it on this podcast because I don't ever want to get in the habit of doing anything like that in front of a microphone.
Roger, millions.
I mean. Oh, fucking rights. Garrett, I just want to ask you, I didn't want to say John there, just in case you guys had a moment of awkward silence figuring out who I meant. But Cheech, with for you, you know, I remember I used to count scoring chances, and you'd be in this habit of just like pulling it out, and you'd be like, you know, they've given up five, and you'd almost always be right, right? And your deflections eye too is something that I think, you know, you pride yourself on, as you should, right?
Yes.
What are you worried you're going to lose in terms of that? In terms of that awareness that you have calling it off a monitor?
Well, that's the problem. Again, we get back to the coverage. And if you don't see, if the camera is so tight that you can't see somebody coming into the play, and all of a sudden they're just there. Mm. And that's the old goalie in me comes out, and you see the goalie's reaction. If you can't see the goalie's reaction, if the shot is too wide and you see the point man shooting it, and then all of a sudden the puck's in the net, I most of the time rely on the goalie's reaction. And he reacts with his glove, and his glove's high, and then the puck goes halfway down the net, and you're thinking, okay, somebody got a piece of that on the way. The goalie's not going to be that far off. But if you don't have a wide enough shot, then you can't see that. And that's, as Shorty was saying in Rogers Arena, the gondola position is, we're almost over it. And you, especially at center ice, you get the good angles on the point man shooting. You can follow the puck all the way. And it makes it a lot easier when you have the full vision. And you can't state enough how you can watch as the play goes on, the reaction of the coaches and the reaction of the teammates when somebody stays out too long or somebody misses a check. And that's something that we're going to miss doing things off of monitor.
All right. I'll put you both on the spot here. After all these years of traveling, you know, I've been out the last 3 years, so I've sort of picked up a few of your tips and habits along the way. But because you won't be traveling this year, just give me a city that you're going to miss, a press box or broadcast location that you're going to miss, and a restaurant that you'll miss.
Oh, man. Okay, I'll start, Shorty. I still get goosebumps, and I did when I was playing in the old Chicago Stadium. And the Chicago Stadium was just, it was historic, and you dressed down in the basement, and you came up, and the place was just almost shaking, and then the organ would start playing and the anthem would going. And still, even though they now the big United Center and it's a different, sorry, that atmosphere. And Shorty and I both, we take our headsets off and you don't get it over the television like you do when you're there live. And Jeff, you know what it's like when the gentleman starts singing the national anthem. I think he's not the greatest singer in the world, but boy, oh boy, he just belts it out and the crowd gets into it. And I just love that about the Chicago Stadium, and that's the rink that I'm going to miss traveling to, just for the anthems.
You know, I'll follow up on that one point, and then I'll give you mine. You're right; television does not do that anthem justice. And when I worked in radio, particularly in the playoffs, you know, the Canucks had those three straight series against the Hawks. I used to implore and beg my operator, the late, great Ed Murphy, and also Bill, who did some of the games there, I would say, take off your headset and now put it back on, and I want you to mix this anthem the way the people in here are hearing it, because the people in here aren't hearing it because it's being drowned out. And you when you watch a game on TV, you hear Jim Cornelison clear as a bell. You hear every missed note, everything he does. But if you're in the rink, particularly in a playoff game, you barely hear him at all. And I think it would behoove people to try to convey the actual atmosphere rather than, you know, try to have a nice mix of his microphone and the crowd and be able to hear him sing the anthem. But that's just an aside. I'm going to miss the Bell Center. Partly because Cheech is just in his element there. I think you must have done a ton of games, the Habs through the years, John, and you love catching up with the French media. It's not quite the same anymore with no Red Fisher, and I haven't seen Dick Irvin there in years. But John is always greeted so warmly, and he always goes and gets his two chien chaud with mustard only, maybe a little ketchup, and the atmosphere. Particularly if they're on a weekend, but any day, the atmosphere there is great. I think one of my favorite memories in recent years, Cheech, and we never really talked about this one, but was the game we did there, the Jean Béliveau night, and Mrs. Béliveau being there, and the number fours behind each net, and just the atmosphere there was just ridiculous. And I really felt honored to be able to be there and do that game with John.
Yeah, it was, and it still is. It is one of the best rinks to do a game in. The tradition and the fans that go are so knowledgeable and so loyal to the Habs. And I did the Forum, like the Chicago Stadium, I got to play in it, and the Bell Center, the ghosts did go over. They say, well, no wonder the Habs, they haven't won. Well, they did win in 93, and it wasn't in the Forum, but... it's just, it was like Maple Leaf Gardens, the same kind of atmosphere. And the Toronto, we never get to do games in Toronto anymore, Shorty and I. it's just not the same. And Jeff, getting back to your question about the restaurants, and I know Shorty will just laugh me out of this segment because my favorite is Tom Reed's. We go to Minnesota. my good friend Tom Reed's restaurant is about three blocks from the rink, and you go there, and he'll cater to every game you want to watch. He'll make sure that it's up there, and he is always there. He's going through hard times with the COVID, and struggling. I talked to him the other day, and he had 33 employees before COVID. Now he's got three. He doesn't know how long he's going to be able to survive. And I just hope that he stays in business, because I just love going to Tom Reed's. And remember that time, Shorty, you were with us when he bought a package, some kind of TV package, just so we could watch the Grey Cup.
Yeah. He didn't get the channel. And so he had to buy the package for the year, which I think was hundreds of dollars, but he did that. And the other thing I remember about that was we sat in the back room, which is full of Minnesota Fighting Saints paraphernalia and pictures of Cheech with his long hair. and I remember we all sat down. It was a big group of us. And Cheech ordered a pitcher of Coors Light. And somebody went to grab it and pour some into a glass. And Cheech slapped his hand and said, "No, that's my pitcher."
Yes, exactly. Your hands off
it. That's mine. I have to answer the restaurant question because I don't want to be rude to Tom Reed, because I do enjoy our times at Tom Reed's. But the reason I'm not always there with John is because I'm across the street from the hotel at my favorite restaurant that I'm going to miss, which was the Italian place in St. Paul called Pazzaluna's. But this is partially to make me feel better, because I am kind of angst-ridden about not traveling this year. Although probably not as angst-ridden as I'd be if I actually was traveling commercially and worrying about my health. But I'm picking Pazzaluna partly because it's a great restaurant. I've had so many good times there, but also because it's closing. So there's no chance I'll ever be able to go there again. So this year hadn't happened the way it had, Pazzaluna would be no more. So Cheech, you'll probably have me at Tom Reed's a little more often now.
Let's hope so. Let's hope we're back. Come on.
Now, I'm glad I got to have a chance to have lunch with you guys at Tom Reed's, but the pitcher story is familiar, because when Cheech took me down to the Minnesota donut stand, I'll never forget it. he holds out the bag of donuts, and he's got two, of course, one for him and one to share. And I assume he just wants help carrying it. So I went to grab it, and I had the exact same experience. Cheech pulling it away. Like, no, yeah, like, no I'm no. offering you one. Ah, good stuff.
I love those mini donuts. You can smell them through the whole rink.
Shorty, I know when I saw you at practice the other day, and you had agreed to come on the pod, and you said, well, as long as we're not talking about hockey. And so we've done a pretty good job. I mean, we've talked around hockey, but just as we finish up here, just I want a thought from both of you guys. I mean, it was an eventful offseason for the Canucks. Obviously, a bunch of guys walk out the door. They're now in Calgary. The Canucks will see them here pretty quickly early in the season. There's a lot of talk about, you know, where they fit in this all-Canadian division. Just a general outlook. What do you think of this group as they start into this truncated season?
Well, you know, I'll start if that's okay. And I've got to say, with a couple practices and three scrimmages under my belt, I feel a lot better. I think it was easy to get, you know, kind of sucked into feeling kind of down about things in the off season. Because it did seem like there was just this parade of bodies walking out the door, you know, with Markstrom and Tanev and Toffoli, Stetcher. And yes, you know, they were replaced. And I think Nate Schmidt was a wonderful addition. And, you know, they did well to take advantage of the situation that Vegas had put itself in. I think Braden Holtby is a proven goalie. And I think that was a very adequate way to go about bolstering that position. But then, you know, you get to the rink and you start to just see some of the younger players, and whether or not this bodes well completely for this season or just kind of the overall future, you realize that maybe you weren't seeing the forest for the trees. You know, you see Quinn Hughes, you know, with a year under his belt. You see the lotto line. And let's hope JT Miller's just fine. You see the lotto line looking absolutely ready to dominate. You see Jack Rathbone and the way he can skate. You see Nils Höglander and how he looks ready to play all, you know, right now. And I've got to say that having been to the rink on a handful of occasions, having watched three scrimmages, two of them in person and one of them online, I feel a lot better than I did for parts of the off season when, like you guys said, it felt like a kind of a mass exodus without a lot coming back. But time will tell. We'll see. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. But I feel pretty good. Not as good as I did in September of 2010. I showed this to Tom the other day. I found the ticket stub. The only time I've ever bet on the Canucks, ever in my life, I dropped $150 on them in September of 2010 to win the cup down in Vegas, and would have cashed out $1,050, and came pretty close. So I was kind of upset finding that ticket stub the other day. Anyway, John, I'm rambling.
Yes, that's right. But I agree with you. And you look at the goaltending situation and Thatcher Demko, it's his time. He looked so good in the bubble, and Braden Holtby comes in, and people forget that Braden Holtby played 48 games last year. He was the number one guy in Washington until towards the end of the season. He was 11 games over 500. So, and I really think that teams are going to have to use both goalies more this year. I think you're going to have to look at a 33-23 split, whereas before in the 82-game season, it was 60 games for your number one guy and 20 for your backup. It's going to be a lot closer to 50-50 this year. And Nate Schmidt and now Travis Hamonic and guys that play the right side and right-hand shot, Travis Hamonic and the younger players with another year's experience. Quinn Hughes played, 68 of the 69 games that the Canucks played last year and over 21 minutes a game. And Brock Besser was in the top three rookies his rookie year. Elias Pettersson won the rookie of the year his year. And last year, I thought Quinn, you should have won. So they're young guys, a year more experience. And I really think that the outlook is, and the Canadian Division, North Division, Scotia Division, whatever you want to call it, every team has a chance other than, I would say, Ottawa. And you look around, I think it's really going to be competitive. And I'm hoping the Canucks are in the top two.
Well, look, I said at the outset that I hope this was going to be comfort food for our listeners. Hell, it's turned into comfort food for us, I think. It's so good to hear the two of you guys back together. You are the soundtrack of hockey for so many in Canuck Nation. So I think people will be excited to see you guys get back at it. Game number two of the season. You've got the Thursday night game, the Canucks and the Oilers. So I'll say best of luck to you because obviously new surroundings that you guys laid out. So I hope it all goes smoothly. There's bound to be a few hiccups along the way. Make sure you've got your masks and your hand sanitizer, and I'm sure it'll all go smoothly. But it's great to get you guys on here. We'd wanted to do this for a while, and with hockey here now, it was terrific catching up with you. So thanks for doing this, guys, and we will see you, I guess, around the rink of the home games, but we'll see you from a distance.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was terrific stuff, and we thank the two Johns, and we're looking forward, Tom, I think, to just hearing them. I mean, we've been around the rink, I know, yeah. But just hearing them together, and they are so seamless. Even though it's crazy that they haven't worked since that Islanders game on March the 10th or whatever it was, so way back when.
That fateful night. I know, it's wild. It is truly insane how long it's been since, I heard them together. And I mean, I don't get to watch them that often, right? Like at the rink, it's not like I generally listen to the broadcast, right? I only probably watched 2 to 5 games a season last year. But even just hearing that, right? Like it triggers something. There's something about them together, whether they're talking hockey or talking restaurants or, just talking food, like talking bad food usually. That just sounds like Canucks hockey. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to be stoked to welcome the Johns back into their living room when they welcome Canucks hockey back, Wednesday without the Johns, but then Thursday with Shorty and Cheech. I think a lot of people will, it'll feel normal in a way that a lot of the last 12 months hasn't.
Right. And if they didn't make it totally clear there, they do the regional games. The Wednesday night, the season kickoff is a national broadcast. It's a Wednesday, but it's sort of like a Saturday where the Leafs and the Habs play the early game. The Canucks and the Oilers are the late game. Those are national broadcasts in the eyes of Sportsnet. So there'll be different broadcasters for that one. And then Shorty and Cheech get after it starting on Thursday. And they'll have the bulk of the games, certainly weeknight games. Saturday games or Hockey Night in Canada. So you'll hear some different voices as the season rolls along. A couple of things just before we wrap up and we inch closer to the drop of the puck on opening night. And we always talk about our VIPs. We got feedback at the Athletic app in the last pod that we did where you were trying so hard to convince me to call him Höglander, and I wasn't ready to go down that road with you. But Emma on the Athletic app wrote, to confuse you even more on the Höglander pronunciation, the stress is actually on the second syllable, Höglander.
Ah, Höglander.
But then again, it's the same with Nylander, and we all know how that's been standardized. As for the O with the omelet, the two dots on the jersey, don't think the NHL allows that. Berge, Backstrom, Naslund. Us Swedes don't really expect English speakers to get it right. A degree of anglicization is always going to be necessary. So thanks to Emma for the point of clarity and for the feedback. Appreciate the VIPs. And so there you go. You're going to have to go with Höglander to get it absolutely right. The other thing that I want to mention is if people haven't seen it, run. Like, don't take your time. Run and check out Harm's piece on Nate Schmidt. Because
yeah, it's awesome.
The amount of work that goes in, but the amount of laughs that you get out of it. This guy's one of a kind, and it is probably, well, so is Harm, but Nate Schmidt is one of a kind, and it's probably a good thing. Like, I don't know that we could deal with like a team full of Nate Schmidts. I can't imagine a coach could.
Like, oh my goodness.
He is off the wall, and Harm captures it perfectly. With college teammates, with coaches, with NHL teammates and other stops. They all have stories, as you can imagine. It's a really good read and sort of, it was a good laugh to sort of put you in the right frame of mind for the season ahead here. So hats off to Harm, who we know does terrific work. And
terrific
work. The amount of work, that just when you read it and you think of all the people that he had to track down to get comments about Nate Schmidt. So the work went in, and the work certainly was worth it.
Yeah, he crushed it. And the, Harmon crushed it as he crushes everything. A bit of a stretch project for him, right? Like this was him taking himself outside his comfort zone, and he just absolutely nailed it. Proud of him, as I always am. But also, you know, on the idea of a team full of Nate Schmidts and that being intolerable, Canucks are kind of on their way, right? Like Schmidt, Roussel, Miller. Like, there's a lot of guys who are, a lot. And I don't say that as a negative, like just a lot. And on this team. I feel like if one team has a chance of making a run, like the Canucks are getting there. You know, you throw in Holtby, a bit of an individual. Thatcher Demko, who grew up in San Diego and somehow ends up a pro hockey player. Like, you have to be a different cat to do that. Canucks can get there. I probably need to make a couple more ads, but they're on their way. Let's go. Like, 23-man roster, 23 guys who are a lot. This team can do it. I believe in this management group to accomplish it.
Well, you saw it all summer. You lived it. You documented all of the chirps and the sounds of the game. I'm really looking forward to hearing what hockey sounds like. Again, you know, we'll be watching the first four on the road, but to go to Rogers Arena for those home games, just to get a sense of what you're able to pick up when these guys are chirping at each other and just the sounds in and around the ring. So here it is. It's hockey season. That's a good thing. Nate Schmidt's a Minnesota guy. I should mention that former Wild head coach Bruce Boudreau helped Mike Russo preview the Minnesota Wild season on this week's Straight from the Source at The Athletic. So if you want to check out the insights of a former NHL coach and a guy that is probably looking to get back in, but Bruce Boudreau, one of the great quotes, and if he doesn't find work in coaching, he probably will have a job in the media as well. So you might want to check that one out. And like Emma, check out our comments section for each podcast episode at The Athletic app. We appreciate all the feedback. Also, rate and subscribe to the VanCast on Apple. And if you're not already a subscriber, go to theathletic.com/VanCast and receive a subscription for just $3.99 per month. Grantzer, guess what?
What?
It's game day.
Game day. Let's go. Been far too long, man. Although I will say, a game being played at Rogers Place, an NHL game being played at Rogers Place that I'm not at, feels a little weird. Hits a little different. Not sure I'm ready for this yet.
Well, you better be. Countdown is on. Drop of the puck. New season. Away we go. Canucks and the Oilers. And we'll be all over it here at the VanCast all season long. Looking forward to it. So thanks so much for stopping by this one. Hope you enjoyed the visit with the two Johns. I know we certainly did for Grantford's J. Pat. As always, thanks so much for your support of the VanCast here at The Athletic and theathletic.com.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.